Hello, my friends, and welcome to Love Over Fear, Stories for Precarious Times. This is a special bonus brought to you by End of Life University Podcast. I'm your host, Karen Wyatt, and today I'll be telling you a story titled, To Everything There Is a Season. And before I begin the story, I'd like to read to you a Bible verse, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, which may be quite familiar to you as something you've heard often in the past. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And this verse is reminding us that there is a certain timing to everything that happens in the universe, and a timing that may not always make sense to us and may not always meet our desires. And yet, it's timing that we cannot change, that we have no control over. No sooner could we stop winter from coming than could we control the rising of the sun in the morning or the setting in the evening. And so one of the most important facets of life is that we learn to accept these normal cycles of life and the timing of life as something that is outside of our control. And yet we are subject to it. We must surrender to it. We have to learn to live with the timing that doesn't always make sense to us and isn't always what we want. So I have a story to share with you that reflects on this issue of timing and accepting timing. This is the story of my own mother at the end of her life. When my mom was 84 years old, she developed a severe arthritic condition that made it very difficult for her to walk. It affected her knees and her hips, and she was in a great deal of pain each time she took a step. And medication was not helpful for her. There were no other treatments available. She simply had to live with this pain that she experienced every time she tried to be mobile or to get around. And she made the choice at 84 to really stop going outside her home. For the most part, she became a hermit, tucked away safely in her little house where she could maneuver with a walker and by holding on to cabinets and things. But she no longer felt safe and comfortable going outside, attending events. And she's a woman who had been very social all of her life. She'd always belonged to bridge clubs, prayer groups, book clubs, Bible study classes. She was an avid volunteer who did lots and lots of work in the community, delivering for Meals on Wheels. She ran a thrift store for our church for a few years. And she always had a number of people in the community that she was helping, that she would visit and do shopping for and bring things to. And this is how I grew up my whole life, was watching my mom do her volunteer work and enjoy her social groups that she was part of. So it was a sudden drastic change for her at age 84 when she simply no longer had enough desire to go out and socialize to push her to do it in spite of the pain that she was in. So she made this decision to basically stay at home as much as possible. A volunteer from her church began doing grocery shopping for her and also helped her with her laundry because the washer and dryer were in the basement and it was difficult for her to get up and down the stairs. This change came about really gradually over time, but the decision that she made to stay at home was fairly sudden when she made that choice. It was very challenging and difficult for her to lose all of her social interactions with other people. Mom had been a widow at that time for 20 years after my father's suicide. So she had lived alone. She had never dated or had another relationship, and she really counted on her social groups and volunteer activities to give her connections with other people outside of her own home. It was very challenging for her then when all of that changed suddenly at the age of 84. So within a year or so after Mom made that decision to stay at home, she made another decision that she was really done with life. She couldn't really see a reason for her to continue to be on the planet. And she called me one day to tell me that she had had a talk with God. My mom was a very devoutly religious person. And she prayed to God often about things that she wanted or needed. So she told me that she had had a conversation with God and told God that she was ready to leave the planet. She was ready to go to heaven and that God should take her at any time. She was letting me know this because she wanted me to be prepared that she probably would die very soon. She was sure of it. She agreed to start doing some planning for the end of life at that time. It made sense to her because she was so sure that she was going to die. So we together filled out a 5 wishes document for her after a lot of conversations about what she might want and not want at the end of life in terms of healthcare. She also began planning her own funeral. So she had some representatives from the funeral home that our family had used for generations in our town for burial services. She had them come to her home and set up a prepaid funeral plan. She paid for her casket, for her service, for burial and interment. She already had a burial plot next to where my father was buried. So she made all of these arrangements and took care of all the payments in advance so that there would be very few decisions for my brother and I to make when she did die. And again, she was certain that this was going to happen soon. So she was motivated to do it very quickly. In fact, she paid the funeral home to create a video out of several photographs that she gave them that they could show at her funeral, and also paid to have brochures made that could be handed out to mourners who came to her funeral. Although the brochures, of course, contained her birth date, but not her death date. But she already had those printed and available and ready to go for the time when she died. And when I came to visit, she showed me a box that contained those brochures, her video, and all of her funeral plans. She had even invited people to be speakers and to do the eulogy at her funeral that she had chosen. And she really felt like she had everything prepared. She knew where the funeral would be, what kind of music would be played, what readings would be done. Everything was really set in place. And as she showed me all of this box with all of her plans and her arrangements in it, she said to me, "Now I'm fully ready. So I'm letting God know." So she said, "Don't be surprised. This will probably happen soon and I will be gone." But the reality is that my mom lived for another 5 years. And in spite of her conclusion that the timing would be perfect for her to die at the time that she stopped walking and made these plans for her funeral, It didn't happen that way. That was not the timing that God or the universe had in mind, or that even her own body had in mind, even though in her mind she had decided that it was the right timing. So over those 5 years that my mom continued to live, she remained a shut-in. She very, very rarely went out of the house and continued to have her groceries brought in, and I got a little bit of help with house cleaning and laundry, as I mentioned before, and basically sat at home in her house. It consumed much of her day just to get out of bed, to bathe herself and get dressed and get ready for the day, and then preparing meals and cleaning up after her meals was really took up most of the time of the day. But every afternoon, she would retire to her recliner chair in the living room and fall asleep there. And I think she began to feel that she was wasting time in a way. She was waiting, still thinking that she would probably die any moment. But since it wasn't happening, she decided that maybe she needed to do something with her time. She got the idea that she should start praying for other people. And this actually happened because a next door neighbor had stopped by to see her one day and confided in her some personal problems that she and her husband were having, including financial problems. And mom had assured her, "I will pray for you." So she had begun in the afternoons to pray for this woman and a few other people that she was aware of that were having difficulties. And within a short amount of time, word began to get out with some of her old church mates that she was starting a prayer practice, and they began to call her at times with people they knew who needed prayers. So mom began to keep a list in a notebook of all the people that she was praying for, and she would go through her list every afternoon and pray for each person on the list and whatever it was that they needed help with. And she actually began to enjoy this quite a lot. She spent a little time on the phone every day, talking to more and more people, learning more and more about what was happening in the world and where anyone might need prayer to benefit them. So she became, in some ways, I think of her as a prayer warrior. She began to use prayer as a tool to reach out and help other people. And it actually helped her to feel more productive in her life and to feel that she was giving something important to life. And part of her desire to die before was because she had lost all of her productivity. She had lost all of the ways in which she reached out and helped other people. But her prayer practice became the thing that gave her meaning and purpose for her life. And she could do it from her reclining chair. So after a year or two of mom's powerful prayers happening from her recliner in her living room, literally when you walked into her living room, you could almost feel the energy surrounding her from all of this output of love and compassion and caring that she was doing every day through her prayers for so many different people who needed help. And she often got feedback from people that her prayers had been helpful, that things had worked out better, something had gone the way a person had hoped. And that kept her going as well and encouraged her even more to keep up her practice of prayer. And it was fascinating to watch how she had gone from being a bit unhappy and discouraged with life to suddenly being filled with excitement and energy and love and joy about being alive every day and having this opportunity to pray for people who needed help every single afternoon. So I watched this transformation gradually come over her and marveled at how beautifully she had surrendered to her circumstances. And she even acknowledged that the fact that she couldn't walk and go outside anymore was a benefit to her prayer practice, because she would have been meeting with people or going someplace if she could. And it was the fact that she was restricted to her home now that led to her enhancing her prayer practice. But eventually, Mom became sicker. She developed biliary cancer and was declining rather rapidly from this cancer that was not treatable for her in her condition. And so it became clear that she really was on the final trajectory of her life and that she really would be dying within a short time. We arranged to have her admitted to hospice, and ultimately I came to stay with her, although it wasn't as it turned out, until the last week of her life. I had expected that I would be staying with her for a few months and had packed for that in order to take care of her and be with her during her declining days. But in fact, after I came to stay with her and care for her, she died within 5 days. So when the timing was right, when it was her time to die, it was a surprise to me and to her that she reached that point seemingly very quickly. And yet 5 years earlier, when she thought it was time for her to die, she was disappointed that the timing was so slow and that it didn't happen at that time. So on both ends of this 5-year period, each one of us had imagined the timing that we thought would work out, and we were wrong in both cases. There was a different plan in mind. There was a different flow in the universe than we could perceive or than we expected. And 2 days before Mom died, we had a conversation, and she let me know that she had been feeling somewhat betrayed by God during those 5 years when she was doing her prayer. Because she told me she had asked God to take her, she had told God that she was ready to go, and she didn't really understand why God had gone against her and not followed her wishes. And I said, but you know, Mom, like, we don't always understand God's timing or the timing of the universe. We don't always know what that is. And it's part of our job here to accept it as it is. And she said, I know, but I want to know what God was thinking. I want to know God's reasoning. Why did God want me to stay here? And I said to her, don't you think it's because of your prayers, so that you would be here to pray for people who needed that? And she considered that and said, I guess that's part of it. But she said, I feel like there's something more. I feel like there's another reason. There has to be another reason why it was important for me to stay here and be in pain for 5 more years. And she thought about it for a little while and then had a sudden realization. And she called me back over to the bedside because she had just thought of something she wanted to explain to me. She told me that her hospice nurse, with whom she had become very close, had just confided in her a few days before I arrived to help take care of her that the hospice nurse's husband had died by suicide 1 year earlier. And my mom, of course, had also suffered the suicide of her husband. So Mom became a listener and a healer in a way for her hospice nurse as they shared their stories together. And Mom recognized in that moment that maybe part of the reason that she had stuck around 5 more years and then that she had developed an untreatable cancer was so that she could be admitted to hospice and get to know this particular hospice nurse at a time when the nurse needed my mom's help as much as Mom needed the nurse's help. And Mom was laughing and crying with joy at the same time at this realization that everything had been perfect. It had worked out perfectly. The fact that she prayed for other people for 5 years. The fact that she dealt with her own pain, which gave her more compassion and understanding for the suffering of other people. And the fact that she had developed cancer and was admitted to hospice and got to know this beautiful hospice nurse whose heart was broken, and that she could offer comfort to that nurse in the last few days of her life, was such a powerful revelation to her. And it completely transformed her understanding of everything. She no longer had questions for God. She no longer felt betrayed. She no longer had confusion about why she had been asked to stay here a little bit longer. And suddenly, the timing made perfect sense to her and also to me. That simple realization changed everything and helped both of us surrender and just be in the present moment with what was happening. It helped me accept the fact that though I thought I was going to spend a couple of months taking care of my mom and we would have lots and lots of time to reconcile and heal old conflicts that had happened between us, that timing was not going to be available to us. Our healing and our reconciliation was going to happen in a very, very short time because that's all that was left for us. And I needed to surrender to that as well. So as both my mom and I let go of our expectations and our hopes and our plans for how her end of life would go, we settled into the reality of what was actually happening in that moment. We became fully present to one another. We both became willing participants in each and every event that was unfolding moment to moment. And sure enough, in that same day, we had a very powerful, transformative experience between the two of us that helped us heal years worth of resentment and bitterness that had developed between us. And again, the timing for it was absolutely perfect. We couldn't have planned it. We couldn't have scheduled it. We couldn't have caused this to happen by our own energy or our own power or our own control. We had to surrender to it and allow it to be the way it was and allow it to unfold as it was with its perfect timing, in its perfect season, in order to get the full benefits of this shared experience between us. So for both my mom and for me, we learned a powerful lesson to surrender to the timing of events, to stop trying to control how things are, and also to stop being bitter or resentful or feeling victimized by the timing of things that happen in life. We both learned how to surrender to the flow of events. Whatever is happening, whatever is coming in that moment, it's coming with its own timing, and we simply have to accept it as it is and make the best of it. I believe that's exactly where we are right now, as we are still in the midst of this global pandemic, wondering what will come next, somewhat confused, not really understanding why this has happened, what the outcome will be, where we're headed, not even able to interpret at all the meaning of it, and what should we gain from this? What should we learn from this? We are simply at a moment when we have to surrender to the timing of these events that are unfolding before us. We have to trust that it is the right season. It is the time when it's okay for this to be happening. And the sooner we are able to go with the flow of what's happening and enter into the perfect unfolding of time, the sooner we will begin to see more clearly, we'll begin to have clarity and understanding, and we can begin to heal from some of the trauma that we've been experiencing, from some of the old grievances that we've been carrying around with us. It will show us a way to enter into the flow of life instead of resisting the flow of life and trying to make things be different than they are. And so as I conclude this story, I encourage you to spend a little time today thinking about how you might surrender to the timing that is unfolding before all of us right now. How you might accept that whatever is happening right now is perfect simply because it is, and let it be, and allow yourself to be in that flow in the present moment, and bring all of your creativity and love to this moment, and the next moment, and the next. And may within that surrender, you find healing and comfort and peace.